The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guest on Off the Shelf is Kevin Ewell Page. Kevin is the Deputy Commissioner for the Federal Acquisition Service at the General Services Administration. And Kevin is one of, or maybe he is, the point person to sort of managing change management across the Federal Acquisition Service and on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, it's focusing, laser focus on GSA and FAS's priorities as an organization and supporting customer agencies across the federal enterprise. So, Kevin, welcome to the show. It's great to see you again.
Thank you, Roger. Great to be here.
Well, I'm looking forward to the discussion. So I'm just going to open it up with what are your priorities, FAS's priorities, in terms of supporting customer mission and the American taxpayer?
I appreciate it, Roger. We are, as you say, laser focused at FAS on reforming the way we do business and trying to work with our federal partners and our industry partners to really remake the federal marketplace. And to do that, we've engaged on a strategy that's got four components. We're working very hard on category management, which is a new approach to looking at the federal-wide spend and seeing if there are ways that we can nudge that behavior toward better answers for the taxpayer. We're working on the Common Acquisition Platform, which is an IT effort to support category management, to make transparent what it is the government's buying, and give the acquisition workforce and government better tools and information to make better decisions for their missions and for the taxpayer again. And then there are a couple of internal strategies we're pursuing to make sure that FAS, in this more competitive landscape of the federal marketplace, is able to do well. And those are things around modernizing our business models and extending the amount of service that we perform for our customer agencies around assisted acquisition and other forms of extended procurement service.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big agenda.
Yes, it is.
Lots of things to talk about there. And I think first, why don't we just dive into category management, talk a little bit about that. And so, and just taking a step back from it, you know, as an observer, I guess, and commentator on what's going on, there's big category management. What I mean by that, there's the government-wide initiative with category managers for different sectors. And then there's the category management sort of reorganization that FAS is doing. Can you talk about how they relate, I think, first, and then we can get into what you're doing specifically at FAS? Because I think, you're trying to create a platform to help facilitate overall category management. It would be, I think, fair. Is that a fair observation?
It is fair.
Okay.
No.
So talk about the relationship between, or what is the big category management, how it relates to what you're doing as an organization at your level.
Terrific. So we, about 2 years ago in FAS, took a look at how we were organized and how we were relating to the federal market. And frankly, looking at what our impact was and how we could increase our impact to do more to support our customers, to let them focus on their missions and take on some of the things that they'd been doing previously that weren't necessarily to their advantage to do. And in doing that, we started looking at the world more in the categories of spending that our federal agencies were undertaking. And it became a powerful lens through which to view the needs of customers and to really think about how to rationalize our own offerings and to provide more value in the activities that we were pursuing. And that lens, I think, provides value not only at the FAS level, looking at how we're supporting, but more broadly at the federal level. And Anne Rung and the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and others at the White House have, I think, also found this lens to be a useful one to look at how to improve the federal buying patterns. And so you're right that the category management's operating at two levels, but they're in a powerful dance where we're finding ways to make improvements at many levels. And so...
So at the big level, for example, they've picked category managers that might be you all for IT. I don't know. That's
right. So the question is fundamentally one of governance. The history of the governance of federal acquisition has evolved over the years. I mean, GSA used to be a mandatory source for a lot of products, less so for services.
Oh, I remember those days. Dating myself now.
Yeah, some people think of those as the good old days. We don't really, but there is some kind of notion that we should be more of a center-led operation in the federal government. And I think that's what category management is really designed to do. Rather than mandating the use of a source or mandating a certain agency to become America's buyer, there is the need to nonetheless act more as one and to take a center-led approach to this. So GSA has really been changing its perspective on how it should relate to the federal marketplace to become more of an honest broker, more of an agnostic partner, trying to benchmark what we do versus things that are going on in other parts of the market, and to keep us clear about how that relates to the commercial marketplace, and so that we can provide more unbiased advice to federal. We're interested at this point in taking a federal buyer, an acquisition professional, whether they're on the IT side, the program management side, or the contracting side, and giving them information and tools that push them to the best answer in federal government, whether that's GSA's answer, NASA's answer, or anyone else's. Because that's how we think we get more for mission, more for the taxpayer. And frankly, we think FAST will do very well in that environment as well, because our mission is to supply acquisition solutions for government. We think we'll continue to do well in that environment.
Yeah. So let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. Like, how are you reorganizing, or have you restructured the Federal Acquisition Service? And I think, aren't there like 15 categories or something like that? Could you talk a little bit about the structure there and what it means for your contract offerings and that sort of thing?
Terrific. So when we first looked at the array of spending, we made the decision at GSA to divide into 17 categories, and that's how we.
Sorry, I missed two of them. I'm sorry.
It's all right. and you know, the categories are not arbitrary in the sense that there is logic behind them. They are logical groupings of spending, and what they're trying to do is to align industry's ability to deliver product and service with the way customers are aligned to consume it. And so we took our best look at how to create that alignment through these categories. A couple of years ago, we ended up with 17. There's no right answer, but that was the answer we came up with. Since then, at the federal level, the OFPP asked us to look at it in some different ways and to cast that review in slightly different terms. And we've ended up with 10 categories at the federal level. And I think FAST is going to end up lining up with the federal categories over time. This is not a major disagreement or a major issue.
Sure.
But it is an important management construct. We have to get people lined up, understanding what their span of interest is, and get them focused on the right spending. And so we're getting that alignment built into the way we're moving forward. And there's no disagreement there. We helped create the 10 as well as the 17.
Sure. Sure. So, like, you know, you have one category, it's professional services.
Right.
You know, when you looking at that one category, just as an example, I guess, what is the overall sort of goal of that category, what you're trying to accomplish there? I know part of it is in that organization is streamlining some of the schedules and consolidating them and that sort of thing to, I guess, to align better with what customers are doing. Can you talk a little bit about, like, when you create that category, what does that mean for GSA? And then what does it mean for folks who are buying professional services from you all, or using your contracts to service solutions?
Sure. Well, when we looked at professional services, for example, through our FAST category lens, we realized that we had 8 schedules that were all in the professional services realm, that were all standing alone as separate, essentially separate contract vehicles. And so if you were a small business, for example, trying to do business with the government, you could submit an offer on the MOBIS contract, and that might be great for you in your first couple of years working with the federal government, but you'd quickly learn you want to expand into some financial advisory and business services, that there was market there. And so you would be forced to submit a brand new offer to join that next schedule. We are collapsing those boundaries right now in the professional services category to make it easier for a small business, or any business for that matter, to do business once and well with the Federal Acquisition Service. That saves them the burden of duplicative offers and managing multiple contracts. And we have several vendors who have multiple contracts in the professional services arena. We expect to take their burden in some cases from 8 separate contract management efforts to 1 just with GSA. And when you amplify that problem across the entire federal government, it's profound. We have thousands of duplicative contracts with some professional service firms that costs a lot of money for them to manage, maintain, and that gets priced back to the government one way or another. And so we're trying to take cost out of the federal acquisition marketplace so that we can get more for mission, more for taxpayer.
Right. And I, you know, right now, Kevin, we do have to take the first break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you real quickly on the professional services area about OASIS. That's part of the category management initiative, and your professional services offering and some recent news with regard to the Department of the Army and its commitment to that program. My guest today is Kevin Ewell Page. He is the Deputy Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service. This is Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The mission of government involves critical efforts to improve national defense, economic security, health services, and citizens' lives. The strategy and technology consultants of Booz Allen Hamilton are proud to help government address cyber threats, reform the financial system, modernize infrastructure, and protect our nation. For nearly 100 years, Booz Allen has partnered with clients to deliver results that endure. To see Booz Allen's ideas in action, visit BoozAllen.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Kevin Ewell Page. He is the Deputy Commissioner for the Federal Acquisition Service at GSA. And when we took the break, we were talking about category management. We talked a little bit about the professional services category and the consolidation of the GSA schedules. And I wanted to ask you about OASIS, which is a part of that portfolio. And I know you've had, when the contract was originally awarded, you had the Air Force step up and make a commitment, particularly using the small OASIS small business for a lot of its professional services. And just this month, you had the Army announce, and I saw your picture with Harry Halleck and all this. It was very good. They announced their commitment to, I think, $500 million a year under OASIS. Can you talk about what that means for the program? You mentioned contract duplication as one of your goals to try to reduce. I think that's a big step in the right direction. Can you talk a little about why the Army, you know, has gone with OASIS and, you know, the value it provides and just how it fits into your, you know, vision?
Thanks. Sure. We were very pleased to work with the Army recently to document their commitment to the use of the program. It's very powerful that they have, and the same with the Air Force, and frankly, several other federal partners who are coming very quickly to see this as a useful tool. So it's been wonderful. And it's really a reflection of the power of category management as an organizing principle to align the interests of customer agencies with the ability of industry to deliver best value services and product to the government. We've listened very carefully to the feedback, not only in the professional services arena, but in the network services 2020 arena, and in several other cases where we've been engaging in government-wide category management approaches to make sure we understand truly what agency customers want and need, and to arrive at better answers collectively than we would have individually. And I think OASIS is one of the shining examples recently of an outstanding piece of acquisition work that really takes into account the interests of all the parties, listened carefully, was seen to be consultative, was seen to be collaborative through the use of interactive tools.
Jim Galloney did a great job
Jim
of outreach.
Jim is terrific. Yep. You asked earlier how FAS has been reorganizing or thinking of its role in performing category management. Tiffany Hickson is our regional commissioner in Region 10 out in Seattle. She's also the category executive for professional services and has been on the road talking with industry, talking with individual vendors and associations, federal partners, and has been doing a terrific job making sure they understand where the professional services schedule consolidation is happening, what advantages OASIS has for everyone involved, and how we really can reduce contract duplication across government in taking on these activities together. You know, people have asked, isn't OASIS duplicative of the schedules? And the answer is, we haven't seen that, actually. In the cases where we've had Alliant, which is an IDIQ that covers the same scope as the Schedule 70, what we've actually seen is because the schedules program is really geared toward time materials, labor hour, and firm fixed price contracts, that the Alliant vehicles, which cover the same scope, but allow for different contract type and risk profiles, provides an additive capability. And the same is true of OASIS and professional services. So we're really seeing that this is just a new way that GSA is able to address the full range of contract risk profiles that are required by our federal partners.
All right. So like Tiffany has been doing a great job as well in terms of outreach. She's come and talked to the coalition on many occasions, you know, a couple times already this year, and I'm sure she's coming to our spring conference. You are speaking at our spring conference.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's as our luncheon speaker. Probably talking about a lot of the same things we're talking today. So save some stuff, please. Okay. In your description of Tiffany's role, or just in general, the category executive role, it sounds like it's that sort of, nexus between, the customer and their requirements, understanding how they buy and connecting that with industry and how industry is selling and what the market looks like, and being a subject sort of leading an effort to be subject matter experts in that area and using that to craft better solutions. Is that a fair description?
It's a very fair description. And what's important that's different about that category management as opposed to what people have traditionally thought of as strategic sourcing per se, we're not trying to get to one answer. We're trying to get to an array of answers that covers that whole range of spend in the most effective and efficient way. And we're not trying to do it all at once with a magic bullet. We're trying to engage in longer term change management to nudge federal behavior into better and better buying postures as we go. And so it's a more incremental approach to bringing spend under management and making sure that we can justify every dollar we spend in the federal government is well spent and thoughtfully spent.
Right. So as part of category management, as I understand it, one of the areas that you're focusing on too is like data reporting or transactional data reporting. Can you talk about what GSA sees as the role of that information, why you want to collect it, that sort of thing? And because there is, there's significant concern in industry about a proposed rule that's out there and the burden shift onto contractors and the potential cost of this. And, and at its core, there is a fundamental question, what is all this going to be used for if it is, in fact, determined that it's appropriate to collect it, which is a long ways down the road. But, just what's the management philosophy behind the collection of the data?
It's a great question, a fair question. The federal government is a very vast organization. It really operates at a scale that is unlike any other organization really on Earth. And managing that environment comes with some challenges that are pretty unusual. We have very limited visibility into detailed information about what is spent and for how much across the federal government. So when I talk to you about Tiffany wanting to create solutions across professional services that would nudge buying behavior into better patterns, that takes a lot of forms. And we need data to inform where are things working well? Where are they not working well? Where are things delivering better bang for the buck? And where are they not? Not so that we can necessarily punish anyone, but that so we can provide the incentive to move down the maturity curve. So without data, how do you make fact-based decisions, evidence-based decisions? We've relied on the good answers that come from hundreds of thousands of individual committed IPT members, contract specialists, requirements generators, contracting officer representatives. There's a great group of people who come in every day and do their level best to meet their mission and to get performance done. And we just know in looking across the range of answers that come out of today's process that there's truly a range of answers that takes place. So we want to understand what that range is, compress the range, and see if we can move the mean up a few notches, because that's how we think we can guarantee we're world-class in the way we manage. Without data, we can't do that.
Okay. And I have another question that I think people, observers, and it's sort of related to data, because a lot of data is collected under federal strategic sourcing initiatives. And is category management, how would you describe it as its relationship to the FSSI initiative? I think some people see it as, the next sort of phase in a sense of you're moving to more nuanced approach or more sophisticated approach. I hate to use that term, but where you're looking at buying patterns and requirements and that sort of thing, as opposed to a one-size-fits-all model that I think a lot of folks saw the strategic sourcing vehicles as. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between or what you're trying to accomplish vis-a-vis FSSI?
Sure. So you're exactly right. FSSI was seen as a one-size-fits-all. And even in the best case, it hasn't been. The adoption on any given strategic sourcing effort that's been undertaken at a federal level is running, I think, at the highest at a 30 or 40% uptake. There are simply areas in those categories of spending where we have done some strategic sourcing together, where at least 60% of what we're spending is still not going through the strategically sourced solution. And that means one of a few things. It could mean there are better solutions out there or solutions that are better targeted to meet individual needs. Or it just means that we don't have the right visibility or information to give buyers and agencies that aren't coming to the federal answer the confidence that they need that they should be moving that way, that they could be doing better for their mission that way. So it's a large change management effort, and you're right, it is nuanced. Sourcing is one way to create savings. The best way to generate savings is through demand management. If I can save 10% on a buy, that's great. If I can never spend it at all because I don't need it, that's even more powerful. And that's what private sector has been very efficient at doing, turning off the phones they're not using.
Right, I was going to use that cell phone example.
Everyone
right,
does.
Right? You guys have BPAs for and sort of management tools to help agencies there, right?
Sure. And so I think the broad picture in category management is how do we get more insight as to where all of the levers to generate savings are, not just the pricing event, but also the terms and conditions and usage data that go into managing the product or service through its life cycle.
Right. And Kevin, we have to take our next break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more to Kevin Yule Page. He is a deputy commissioner for the Federal Acquisition Service. And I think we'll start talking a little common acquisition platform and how it's, you know, it's a piece of, it's one of the four initiatives and it's complementary of category management or part of the implementation, I think it might be fair to say. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
These days, it seems everyone's talking about the new normal, but federal agencies have a chance to define it. How will you shape your future? Turn to Deloitte. We understand what makes America work and how it can work better. With our private sector insight and public sector experience, we can help you rethink, reduce, and restructure, or even change the game. See how at Deloitte.com/federal. Wherever you need to go, Deloitte sees you there.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Kevin Yule Page. He is the Deputy Commissioner for the Federal Acquisition Service. And, you know, Kevin, when we took the break, I mentioned the Common Acquisition Platform, right? That's CAP for short. And what is that? I guess we'll start there. Okay, we'll talk about how that relates to category management and division supporting customer agencies.
So CAP is the Common Acquisition Platform. It's a key strategy at FAS. It's one of the four pillars of what FAS is after. And it really is the recognition that in order to carry off category management across an enterprise as large as the federal government, we need a technology component, a 21st century technology component. And so CAP is our effort to in an agile development way, and to move ahead in building the tools and capabilities needed to enable this change management, to enable the visibility, to enable the sharing of good practice, the building of community across the federal space in all of these categories and beyond. We've really started CAP with a group of early adopters and super users. We've worked with the Frontline Forum, for example, and we've reached out to agencies from the very beginning to think through what would be useful to a frontline worker trying to get a best value solution in the door of their agency quickly. And so we've been building the tools and capabilities that they've told us would be useful to them working their day-to-day jobs. And we expect over time we'll iteratively expand the capabilities of CAP beyond the category management hallways we've heard a lot about and into other things like, in fact, available today in the category hallways for professional services, we have a statement of work library. So we expect a use case to evolve that a project manager has experienced tremendous success issuing a statement of objectives around consolidation of their data center, and that they would share this enthusiastically with others who are in their position and are looking forward at how would I do this, and that they would become a community around, hey, how did that really work, and what would you do differently if you were to do it again, and have someone maybe even suggest that that wasn't the best way, there are better ways. This is how we will have a conversation that today is impossible because we live in a diverse group of organizations that are too big and expansive to connect as well as we'd like. So CAP is at its heart a community tool. We expect, because it's also helping us weave together our acquisition systems on the back end of GSA, that it becomes a platform for us to do acquisition analytics. And ultimately, since this is tax season, I'll say it, to become the turbo FAR. I'm jumping into some commercial products right now that help me navigate the tax code. It's a very complicated tax code. The FAR is complicated too, and we think expert decision support is the future to help us through a lot of the human capital issues we have and through the complexities that continuously get added through legislation and regulation to manage the wickets. So we are working with analytics as a service and working with cognitive computing to lay the foundation for really creating almost a single place where I can ask a question and get expert assistance, be connected with answers that have already been vetted by policy analysts and solutions that are already in place, including shared services solutions. And if those answers don't exist, to be connected to the community that can quickly answer them or get engaged. So CAP is evolving based on user-driven demand, and it's an agile program running right now several sprint teams in parallel using SAFe techniques. And we'll continue evolving it to become whatever the agencies need it to be.
So it sounds to me, I was listening to the description, it's like a knowledge management tool, right? I mean, it sort of organizes information, provides a platform where people, I mean, the hallways, can you describe what the hallways contain at this point and what their sure. future state of, you mentioned, you know, the professional services category has the statements of work on it. What else is, you know, that hallway designed to include?
So great question. Right now, the hallways include a matrix of contracts that represent government-wide answers or best practices answers that are available to a single agency, but nonetheless represent a good practice that other agencies may wish to be fast followers on. And so we've worked across the agencies, and there are data calls right now across government asking for the full terms and conditions of these contracts to be supplied so that we can have a single repository of what we consider to be the best answers today. And that can become iterative over time. We have expert articles and by category, things that you should be aware of if you're trying to make a make versus buy decision in a software development effort. We have expert articles about the need to usability one when you're dealing with office supplies, making sure that that education is front and center. So whatever it is that's important to the category, making sure that the federal buying behavior is everything we want it to be, it's front and center in the hallways, and it's used as a tool to communicate, engage, and learn. So right now they've been launched, and we've worked with small groups of officials from across the government to launch them. What we're really seeking is more federal employees right now. It's limited to federal employees because of some of the proprietary data in the hallways. We'd like more and more input on what's missing, what could be better, what practice do you have going on in your agency that should be shared more broadly with the federal government. Sure. And so that's what it is for.
So, and you say it's a government-facing sort of hallway right now. Will it be at some point something that the public can view at least parts of it?
I fully expect that we will create public views and talk more about what's in those hallways. I know it seems like a black box right now to many people or a hypothetical thing. And so we do want public views. We imagine a whole host of tools that would help industry understand where they stack up in the competitive
sure.
landscape. And
so theoretically, like in an IT hallway, you'd have NASA SOUP up there, NIH's contracts, GSA's, GWAC's, and IT Schedule 70.
And they're all there today okay. as we speak. And so we have...
I'm glad I used that example.
We have links to each of these contracts. We have links to the SOUP Bowl so that if you think that's your best answer, you can go right there. Similarly, we have links right into Advantage and DoD EMAL. So we are making these hallways, as I mentioned before, agnostic to GSA. We want to provide the information over time that helps people make the best decision for their agency, and we're happy to have the feedback from agencies who think that advice could be improved as we go forward.
Right. So this is it's going to be an iterative process, as you mentioned, that's going to continue to evolve over time as you identify needs or wants or good things that you ought to be doing.
That's right.
Right. So. And that sort of leads to the next topic areas of business modernization, because I think these are all obviously interrelated things, category management, the CAP, and business modernization. What is business modernization for FAS?
So what we're trying to do with the CAP and the category management is to create a truly transparent federal marketplace. And the other parts of our strategy are making sure that FAS rises or continues to be successful in that more competitive and transparent marketplace. So the things that we're modernizing in business model modernization are things like the professional services category, consolidation of the schedules. It is things like the Network Services 2020 initiative. It is mass modernization, multiple award schedule modernization. And frankly, we're in the midst of a supply chain transformation. GSA no longer has any warehouses. We have gone completely to fourth-party logistics and using the Department of Defense's systems for transport to get things overseas. So we're really moving into the 21st century across an array of the services and activities GSA performs in order to stay low-cost, highly responsive, and agile as an organization. So these are really key initiatives for us to continue to improve our value proposition to customers.
Right. On the contractor side, what does it mean for contractors? Because I mean, I think one of the things that we are seeing is with, the new Alliant, Alliant follow-on, a lot of outreach between government industry. NS2020 has its draft RFP out there right now. Schedules modernization, there's always conversations about that between government and industry. Is that one of the pillars of this approach? Is it talking to the industry partners as well to try to figure out what's the right model for these things?
We cannot be successful as a federal government without a committed, engaged, enthusiastic, and an innovative private sector supporting us, period. And so, yes, we've tried very hard at GSA to model the Mythbusters behaviors that I think are so critical to getting acquisition right. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback for the way we've engaged industry on the OASIS effort. Same with Alliant and Alliant 2. We've been very engaged with industry on NS2020. It's critical because the good ideas come from everywhere in government, but they really also come from the private sector where we need the input.
Right. Thanks, Kevin. And you're right. I do. We do have to take a break. We'll come back. We'll be talking more to Kevin Yule Page. He is the Deputy Commissioner for the Federal Acquisition Service. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
CACI delivers innovative information solutions and services to serve America's highest priorities, advancing efficiency and performance with business systems, countering the effects of complex threats with integrated security solutions, providing healthcare solutions for better, more affordable care, defending the nation against cyber threats, and helping veterans with its award-winning career-building program. CACI. Information deployed, solutions advanced. Missions accomplished. CACI, ever vigilant.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guest is Kevin Yule Page. He is the Deputy Commissioner for the Federal Acquisition Service. And hey, Kevin, we're talking business model modernization. And one of the areas you did mention was the schedules program and taking a look at modernizing that. I know one of the things that you being FAS launched over the past year is a white space study. I think you hired MITRE to assist you in looking at the schedules and where they are and where they should go in terms of modernization. Can you talk about what that study is and what you hope to get out of it?
Yeah, thanks. So we wanted to make sure as we're looking at the MASS program, which is a very well-established program. I don't want to say it's old, but it's been around for a while, and it has...
I could say it's old. Okay. It's okay.
Well, I didn't want to cast aspersions, but...
Hey, I'm old. What are you saying there, Kevin?
That's what I was saying. It's a great program, but we are in the 21st century now. It's a new millennium. We need to take a look at whether or not there are a lot of ways that we could improve of the program. So we undertook a study. We're undertaking a lot of improvements right now, things we've talked about, professional services schedule modernization. We're trying to look at new cloud SINs on Schedule 70, agile BPAs to help us get innovative companies on board. We're looking at changes in rules that would help us to address some pesky problems with end user license agreements, for example, that slow down our ability to get innovative product on schedule and remain compliant with federal law. So a lot of activities to make the MASS program a more outstanding program for customer. But the white space study is really a broader look. Step back. What would we do if there were no schedules program today? How would we build it from a greenfield approach? Just to make sure there's not thoughts that we're missing in trying to evolve the present to the future. Looking at things like unpriced schedules, what is the business case for other direct costs on schedule and for creating a cost type contract in the commercial sphere? What could we do more broadly to operate the program at lower costs so that we can have many more participants in the program without overburdening the federal government's ability to manage the program? So we're looking at a range of things that we might do differently, and it's really a greenfield study, hopefully with a lot of practical impact at the end.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea and something that is appropriate, and it's necessary in a certain sense if you want to affect change. It's always, having worked in the government, I know you get a trusted third party like MITRE to come in and take a look at things and provide sort of an unvarnished view of a program and make recommendations on where it ought to go. So
if I could just give you a shout out, I appreciate that you and the coalition have been tremendous advocates and prods for us to take closer looks at the way we operate. And it's always great to have the input about areas where we could be improving. So it's helpful.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I wanted to ask you along those lines, so to speak, but I know one initiative that, that I think there is, growing interest in, and it hasn't really been on the under the radar because we've been tracking a little bit, but it's the FedMall initiative. I know GSA is partnering with DLA or DOD on, DOD has DOD eMall, right? And this is FedMall. What is that initiative? And I guess one question folks would have, how does it relate to CAP?
Great question. So I think at the same time, virtually, DLA made the determination it needed to upgrade its capability in eMall. Same time, we were looking very closely at how we would improve GSA Advantage and make a new technology investment to refresh that platform. The effort is really to make sure that we do this as one government instead of duplicating capabilities in these arenas, in the mall arena. We wanted to see if we could work together to create one mall that would give everyone one place to go and put their catalogs. So we're working under an MOU with DLA and in close conjunction with DPAP and others to make sure that we're contributing to the requirements for that recompete, and that we're working to understand how we could take advantage of those tools to advance GSA's mission and support a customer.
Right, sort of leveraging resources across GSA and DOD.
A shared service for a mall, because how many catalogs do we need in the federal government?
That's a very good question. And I don't know the answer to that.
I'm not sure we do either, but we're keen to make the answer fewer than more.
Right. Yeah, well, that does make sense. So the last area in the priorities, and when we began the show, you listed them, is the expansion of assisted services. So first, what do you provide? What does FAS provide in terms of assisted services? And then the second question would be, what are you looking at doing additionally?
So we in FAS have long been in the business of providing what we would call assisted acquisition service, and people have heard that as assisted acquisition. They've heard it as FedSIM, maybe, because there's a large part of the assisted acquisition service that deals in large IT projects and is very well known for doing a great job at that. Agencies sometimes come across an acquisition problem that's just big, out of cycle, or where they just feel they need a little bit of extra help, and GSA has a cadre of people standing by to pick up those kinds of acquisitions and take them on and do very well in conjunction with the partner. We love the program because it gives us such a clear discussion with customers about what their real needs are, what their real operational constraints are, and it gives us much better insight both in serving them as an assisted acquisition partner, as well as how we should design our other fleet of solutions to support those
forms
kinds of
needs. Your future contract should look like.
What should Alliant look like? Because I want to use Alliant to support a customer's IT need, and we're our own customer in that respect. So it's a very powerful feedback loop. We want to do more of that work. We have a lot of demand from customers to do more of the work, and we suffer the same constraints as many of our customers in developing and onboarding and training and keeping fresh a cadre of professionals to do it. But we're committed to growing the acquisition workforce in the assisted acquisition and doing as much of this work for customers as we can. There's a huge demand for it. It's very strategic. And we're looking at different business models to do it, not just doing one-off procurements, but also working with several agencies right now in doing procurement as a shared service that would encompass everything from newspaper subscriptions to major IT investments. Are there agencies that just want to move their procurement function entirely to GSA. We're willing to take it on. And so those are the kinds of things we're looking at.
Right. That's about leveraging resources across government as well. Because, I mean, there's been a lot of focus on the acquisition workforce over the last few years and in making investments in that. But the reality is with the budget we have and the place that acquisition, I think it should have the highest place in terms of when management thinking, because it is, you can't accomplish government mission without an acquisition system to get the supplies and services and solutions that you need. But it sounds like there's an opportunity here that shared services model that really what GSA is, to leverage acquisition resources across the board. Is that part of the thinking of it? The
shared services is a big topic. Acquisition is certainly a key back office function that lends itself to shared service, and we are anxious to make sure we're providing an outstanding service, like many others in federal government, to take on more of this business as our customers feel it helps them.
Right. Kevin, I want to thank you for being on the show today. It's been a great conversation, and you know what? I'm going to have you back in about 6 months and get an update on where things are. It's always good to have this kind of conversation. I want to thank my guest, Kevin Ewell Page. He is the Deputy Commissioner of the Federal Acquisition Service, and you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.